Are you can touch. Can you touch? Okay. My name is Percy Bande. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Originally, I'm from Mpumalanga province. Therefore, I'll request members to introduce themselves.
Thank you, chairperson. My name is Lebohane Mabitsa. I'm a member of the select committee representing Limpopo province. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Manenaga. I'm Priscilla Temba, member of this committee representing Mpumalanga.
Morning, everybody. My name is Delphi Altman, member of this committee, Gauteng.
Morweni, igama lam ndinguZola Mlenzana. Ndililungu lale komiti emele iphondo leMpuma Kapa.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, member of the committee and representing the Northwest Province.
Morning, my name is Papi Tau, member of this committee representing the Northern Cape.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bisela Jacobs, representing the Free State.
Therefore, I'd like to give this opportunity to the department to introduce itself.
Thank you, sir. My name is Mr. Wonga Gabani. I'm the Director General of the Department of Public Works. I am leading the delegation. I'm going to request that members of the department present here introduce themselves as well, their names and their portfolios or roles. Thanks.
Can we start?
Morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Mantekele Munama. I'm based in the office of the DG on British Bank.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Marisa Fatiana Lindy. I'm the Chief Director of Strategy Management.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Cox Mukoro. I'm the Chief Finance Officer.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Stanley Henderson. I'm the DG for the Expanded Public Works Program.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Busha Matute. I'm the Deputy General of Regional Coordination.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm Safa Sivan, DG Inner City Regeneration.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Peter Diapasco. I'm Acting Deputy Director General, and I'm looking after the Asset Investment Management Branch.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Ezekiel Pozule. I'm still on secondment, occupying the post of DDG projects. When I was last in the committee, I was an NCOO. I just need to inform you that that post no longer exists. So I'm now on DDG projects. Thanks.
Morning, honorable members. I'm George Mugmano from the Office of the Minister.
Thank you. Let me give the opportunity to our staff.
Morning, Pilot Webo, I'm the committee secretary.
Morning, I'm Chepo Makanye, the researcher for the committee.
Morning, I'm Malato Mulepo, communication support.
I'll request all the visitors which are here to introduce themselves, please. Sorry, wait, we come to the mic for a sake of records.
Good morning, Chair and the members. Sasebe Lumane from the Office of the Minister of Public Works. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair, members. I'm John Lewis from the Minister's Office.
Good
Morning, Chair and members. I'm Brian Shetty, coming from the Business Improvement Unit, Perfect One.
Let's hear from the back.
I'm Bruce Brown, I'm from PhD.
Okay. Honourable members and as well as our visitors, you're more than welcomed. I think our item for today's vote is for the briefing by the department. But before I go further, is to indicate to all of you that we have received the apology from the minister. Committee somewhere can't be with us today. I think that's accepted. And at least we are having people from the department in the senior position, because we had some challenges in the past with this Department of Public Works in particular, whereby some of the senior members were not coming. And also in the past, our concern was that most of the positions were acting officially doesn't augur well to us. And we were fully aware about the moves which was taken by the minister recently to improve this department. But further, I'll leave this matter up until later on. Therefore, I'd like to give this opportunity to you to give us your presentation.
Once again, Chair, honorable members, for the opportunity to come and present the APP for the Department of Public Works, which is effectively the last year APP for the current term of government. The presentation is structured along this way. There will be part A that deals with the strategic overview, which is largely going to be handled by myself. I will then hand over to Ms. Fadela, who will take us through the actual performance plan and indicators, the program, including the sub-program budget areas, and that is part B, and she will take us through to the end of the presentation. Chair, our vision as the Department of Public Works, despite and in spite of all the issues that have been in the public domain with regard to how we have performed and continue to be bedeviled by a number of issues, we have a vision that we share of seeking to be a world-class public works department. Our mission as the National Department of Public Works is to aim to promote the government's objectives of economic development, good governance, and the rising living standards and prosperity by providing and managing the accommodation, housing, land, and infrastructure needs for national departments. Promoting the National Expanded Public Works Program and encouraging the transformation of the construction and property industries. In pursuit of this objective, the department seeks to ensure efficiently manage the asset life cycle of immovable assets under its custodianship, provide expert advice on all tiers of government and state-owned entities on management of immovable assets. We also seek to contribute to the national goals of job creation for our EPW program and poverty alleviation through program management, leading and directing the public works programs nationally, of which the EPW forms an integral part thereof. We also want to provide strategic leadership to the construction and property industries. Chair and honourable members, as a major custodian of the state's movable property assets, we acknowledge the authority of Parliament for whom we are accountable to the nation. As a result, we are bound by a set of values which drive and should seek to drive our work. On to urgency, on how to deliver the services to user departments while ensuring all tasks are attended to timely and with diligence. We also very client-focused approach to ensure that all aspects of our work are guided by the need to improve quality service delivery to clients, both internally and externally, and that includes both qualitative speed and all of those measures of client focus and approach. Executing our mandate as a department with integrity is central to our work. Hence the fight and the rejection of any form of corruption and maladministration. And all employees of the department vow to expose any actions of undermining the principles of good corporate governance. In doing so also, we want to achieve all this through the culture and value of teamwork, recognizing that every employee has a specific task and a role to perform, accepting that none of us alone can achieve the organizational objectives, and therefore the sum of all our actions defines our destiny as an organization. In achieving these values, we will fulfill the faith that our nation has placed in us. We make the statement on the understanding that in the public domain, we have a certain image that we need to manage. And these values, we hope, we are committed to as vehicles that will guide us towards the achievement of our goals. In the strategic context of our strategic plan and the ATP that we'll be presenting today is driven by the outcomes approach that government has adopted. And in particular, the following outcomes are relevant to us. Outcome 4, which deals with decent employment to inclusive economic growth. Outcome 5, skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. Outcome 6, which seeks to create efficient, competitive, and responsive infrastructure network. Outcome 8, sustainable human settlements and an improved quality of life, Efficient outcome 12, which deals with an efficient and effective development-oriented public service and empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. So the following areas are relevant to the outcomes in the Minister's Performance Agreement. And these are the ones where we are a key role player and not just supportive. Outcome 4, our focus areas in terms of outcome 4 is reducing youth unemployment, analyzing the cost structure of the South African economy, including input costs in the construction sector, and therefore putting all the measures necessary to ensure that the market remains functional and remove any of any dysfunctionalities that may exist in particular areas of this. We'll come back to some of the issues that relate to this. Expanding the EPW, DPW implementation of the state building programs. Outcome, in terms of outcome 8, our focus area is the release of land and properties for developmental purposes to the Department of Human Settlements and Land Reform and facilitate redevelopment of remote area precincts. When we mention human settlements, we mention it as a sector, understanding that it is a concurrent function with some functions that have been accredited to local government spheres that are capable of delivering by the big metros. And in that regard, we perform a particular function that relates to land release for that purpose. Outcome 12, our focus area, is that as a custodian of all immovable state assets, we ensure that immovable assets utilized for delivering various government services yield functional, economic, and social benefits to the state for improved service delivery. We also driven, and you will see that we have incorporated aspects that relate to the National Development Plan as we go forward. The National Plan outlined, Development Plan applies interventions to put the economy on a better footing. The target for job creation is set at 11 million by 2030. Phase 2 of the EPW, which covers the period 2009-10 to 2013-14, which is the current term of government, aims to create 4.5 million work opportunities. The Department of Public Works is a coordinator of EPW programs in the infrastructure sector. Other growth job creation projects include the Young Professional Program, internship programs, leadership programs, graduates from sectors relevant to the department's core business, and the resuscitation of the regional workshops through the artisan training program. Transition to a low-cost carbon economy. The department will continue to implement the energy efficient program, water efficient program, and green building framework over the MTF in line with South Africa's strategy to mitigate the effects of global warming mandated by international and national global international global protocol. An inclusive and integrated rural economy. Our contribution in this regard is that of the development program focuses on the disposal of state-owned immovable assets in rural areas for developmental purposes and facilitates the redevelopment of remote areas, area precincts. Chair, we also contribute in terms of the development plans reference to fighting fraud and corruption. We are committed to improving internal controls aimed at rooting out tender fraud and corruption. As you will have seen in various presentations that the Minister has made from time to time, with regard to the understanding systemic problems in the department, as well as those that need to be rooted out, particularly in that relates to fraud and corruption. We are also driven by aspects that were made public, reported to by the state president in his State of the Nation address. The first one is tender fraud and price fixing in the infrastructure program. We are undertaking a review of our supply chain system in the department to align the system to more modernized approaches. In addition to this, members will have noted or recall that even the Minister of Finance made a reference to this particular issue. And in that regard, in partnership with our department, I'm now developing a case for how the reforms in the supply chain management should look like. We're working with the team that has been assigned by the Minister of Finance in this regard. We have invested huge efforts into the development of decentralized database, allowing a wider span of control for DPW's regional offices to determine acceptable suppliers. And this is within the project, the program of trying to create efficiencies in the department in order for it to do its business differently and better going forward. The code of conduct applicable to supply chain management practitioners as well as key stakeholders in the supply chain system will be closely monitored for compliance. Back office administration of the procurement function is being strengthened to ensure strict compliance to SCM principles. I think if you read the annual reports and the outcomes of the Auditor General, generally we have been caught with regard to a level of non-compliance by the department. And in this regard, in this environment, in this area, we are seeking to address it. Absorption of young people into the EPW. As you know, honorable members, South Africa is plagued with youth unemployment, high levels of poverty and inadequate skills. Our EPW program plays a key role in tackling unemployment and providing access to social services, especially to marginalized communities. And through this program, our youth will acquire the necessary work experience and skills to set them on sustainable career paths. We are a significant player in the PRCC and are accorded the responsibility to coordinate CIP 1, which is the project to unlock the northern mineral belt with water back as the catalyst. And in addition to this, we are committed to deliver over 200 schools across the country. The Department of PC Education has prioritized 18 schools to be built in the Eastern Cape in the current financial year. And we have tasked ITT to be the implementing agent for this project. Key challenges influencing the performance of the department include, as I have already alluded to, lack of controls in supply chain management practices, poor list management, lack of an appropriate accounting platform for property management, including entity, and an inadequate immovable asset register, and lack of built environment and property management skills across the value chain. We're looking at the whole value chain to ensure that we appoint with the necessary resources that are aimed at making sure that we achieve our vision of being a world-class department. Turnaround strategy focusing on improving the performance of the department at three levels has been developed. It deals with the immediate challenges, strengthening our day-to-day core business activities, and moving the department forward in strategic areas of long-term transformation, so that at some stage we have a department that is stable, that is able to concentrate and spend resources and time in its core business. Key medium-term priorities of the strategic plan focus on three overarching themes. And each theme has these various components. First one is the stabilization, which is just to get the department stable. As the chair has acknowledged, that at the top leadership, we are seeking to ensure that those ingredients and those issues that make a department stable are being put in place. We are seeking to remove, to the best of our ability, all LT arrangements, so that we have permanent positions, appointments that will focus and build the department in the long term. Efficiency enhancements, we're looking at all the areas where there are multitudes of inefficiencies that lead to some of the issues that have been reported negatively about us, both in the press, in the reports of the Auditor General, in the reports of the public sector, in the report of the SIU. Sustainability and growth, which then is the final phase that should deliver a department of public works that is different, that is focused, that is capable of delivering on its mandate. Chair, I will not go through all of these on any of this, but these are the components of that define the various aspects of the turnaround strategy. We are able to allocate some of them to the first one, to the second one, and third one of the themes that I've already alluded to. But these are the things that we'll be doing, informed by the order outcomes, informed by the reports that I've referred to from various reporting agencies of government. I think the major issue now is developing and a complete and credible register of state immovable assets. This project is well advanced in terms of its first phase and second phase of it. We anticipate that having appointed the relevant people with the right skills to deal with it, we'll be in a position in the medium term to have an asset register of all the assets of government. We're also working with the various provinces also to ensure that their asset registers are also updated. And then the second one, and I won't go through the others, because these are the things that appear in our audit outcomes. We are undertaking a comprehensive audit of the leases, and we want to establish proper list management framework for the department as part of ensuring that we utilize our assets to their full extent, economically, and to the best benefit to government. Okay, there are four public entities reporting to the Department of Public Works. They have entirely the following key strategic programs over the MTF period. We have an entity called Construction Industry Development Board, CIDB. It's looking at growth and contractor development, construction industry performance, procurement and delivery management, and construction register sets. Those are the functions that it conducts and seeking to achieve on over the medium-term strategy. We also have the Council for Built Environment, CBE, which is the building which deals with Built Environment Academy, seeks to develop a center for innovation and integrated planning in the public interest. The ADEMA South Africa will continue to focus on and provide assurance of fitness for purpose for non-standardized construction technology. This entity is located within the family of the CSIR, but in the not too distant future, we are looking to remove it from that family and make sure that it is focused on the work for public work, which is the MAD body of the MAD department responsible for this entity within the CSIR. The Independent Development Trust with IDT will continue to look at to community mobilization, development, provision of support to institutions such as non-public organizations, serve as program management agency on government infrastructure projects. As we speak, we are engaged with National Treasury with regard to ensuring that it is as a vehicle that we have identified for driving the PICC on schools, it is then appropriately capacitated to achieve this important task. And this based on its past performances in various areas, we believe it will be a vehicle that we can be able to achieve the minister's responsibilities and the department's responsible card to infrastructure development for that PICC. Broadly speaking, and for the whole vote, we will continue to achieve the goals of this department through five programs. The administration program, which is the normal program covering the generic issues that every vote covers. We have Immovable Asset Management Program, which is Program 2. The Expanded Public Works Program, which is Program 3. Property and Construction Industry Policy Regulation, which is Program 4. And then Auxiliary and Associated Services Program, which is Program 5. The budget for this five programs, for these five programs, is expected to grow from the current 7.7 billion to 6.17 billion in the first year of the coming MTF, which is the the current year is now 6.17 billion. The first year of the coming MTF, which is what we'll be looking at for the APP, it will be at 6.7 billion. And the following year, 6.9, almost 7 billion. We will indicate the areas where there have been adjustments from previously published estimates, and areas where there are shifts of funding. In terms of the economic classification, current payments, which are constituted of compensation of employees, goods and services, and interest and rent on land, are adjusted baseline for 2012-13, which is the year that passed. Reflect an amount of 2.5, of which 1.3 is compensation, and the balance is for goods and services at 1.2 and 9.7 million. In the current year, and this budget grows to 2.8 billion, of which 1.5 is compensation, and the balance is goods and services and interest on land. Sorry, interest and rent on land. In the year that we are, that is under review, in terms of the APP, that budget grows marginally to 2.9 billion, of which 1.6 is compensation, and the balance of 1.3 is goods and services interest and rent on land. This is expected to grow marginally into 2015, 16, and 16 and 17, which we have not shown in the slide, as we want to concentrate on the year under review for the particular APP as part of the budget vote for the current year. We also have transfers and subsidies totaling 4.2 billion in the 2013, which is the year that just passed and is currently being audited. Is reduced to 2.5 in the current year that we are implementing, and we'll indicate where the reductions are later. Rose to slightly and or marginally to 2.7 billion in the year under review, which is the first year of the coming NDF, which is the year that we are going to be concentrating on in this presentation, and then expected to marginally grow to 2.8 and grow by inflation into the area that has not been reflected. This is constituted of allocations, provinces and municipalities, which is largely the EPW program. And in the previous year, which is the year that has just passed, we also had in our program a conditional grant to provinces for the settlement of the municipal taxes. And this has now been devolved to the 9 provinces. We took the whole budget, reallocated on an earmarked basis to the 9 provinces so that it can then directly deal with this matter with that additional. So it's a grant shift, which shifts that function to them directly, so that they take responsibility. We continue to monitor and mobilize when necessary the requirements so that the local government does not suffer from inability for government to settle those municipal rates and taxes. The balance then is the various programs that relate to the EPWP, conditional grants that remain, which we will deal with later. Departmental agencies would be transfers to the entities that I've related to, and accounts, which is the PNDE, etc. The payments for capital, which is the smallest of the three main categories, reduces from 945 million in the year that passed to 778 in the year that we are in now, which is 2013-14, and grows slightly to 942.9 million in the year under review, and is expected to grow to 1.174 and then later increase by inflation into the third year of the coming MDEF. That is largely comprised of buildings and other fixed structures, machinery and equipment, and software and other intangibles and figures that are in the table. The policy issues that were considered in the budget. During the 2013 MTF process, departments were posted to reprioritize and reduce the baseline without reversing any additional funds. And this is largely as a result of what we all are aware as the very dire and difficult economic environment that South Africa finds itself as a result of the global meltdown, which seems to continue to remain volatile and negative. Under the repatriation, so National Treasury guidelines were that this year we must now spend our time looking at reprioritizing within the programs and trying to cover all the things we have to do within what exists. Under the revitalization of the allocation, funds were shifted from low efficiency or priority expenditure areas towards areas of higher efficiency or priority, so that we can be able to cover the new 2013 MTF baseline expenditure estimate priorities as determined going forward. As part of that process, we were expected also to identify underperforming programs that can be closed or discontinued, as well as where funding taken from such, as well as when necessary funding to be taken from such programs can be then redirected towards other programs that we are prioritizing. We were also expected, in addition to this requirement, to then reduce our baseline allocations as a guide for the first, for the current year, which is 13-14, by 1%, 2% in 2014-15, and 3% in 2015-16. The funds emanating from these reductions will allow government to increase allocations to infrastructure projects and to finance the impact of higher than expected wage increases. I think, Chair, I may have made reference to 2014-15 as the year 2013, the one that we are currently implementing for the purposes of the, of the vote presentation by Minister. Sorry, I apologize for that slight problem. Over MTF, an amount of 1.1 billion was reprioritized, with 1 billion being reprioritized from the infrastructure and the balance of 100 million from transfers and subsidies and machinery and equipment. This was intended for the following projects under the turnaround, under the theme of the turnaround that we are currently implementing. The turnaround theme and related expenditure in will drive the current turnaround strategy. Special investigative unit, which is a critical activity and agency to clean us up and ensure that going forward we have discovered all the skeletons and we've dealt with them appropriately in our cupboards. The clean audit project, which is seeking to change us into a department that begins to look like a healthy department. Project management support, which is part of the capacitation, recapacitation and reskilling of the department, ensuring that we hire the appropriate support for us to do our business. Immovable asset register project, which is the project I've referred to, of seeking to ensure that we then have a fully compliant, manageable, useful, immovable asset register for government as a reflection of the assets available in order for us to take appropriate investment decisions and strategies. The lease review activity, the internal audit support, and then treasury technical support unit activities. Required issue of the funds over the MTS for turnaround is for both program 1 and 2 under the following economic classification. There is money provided under compensation of employees, which does not include consultants and such type of expenditure. For these are in terms of the economic, in terms of score classification, fall under the item goods and services. In this regard, we are looking at the areas where we have to appoint suitably qualified people in the areas of our core business, such as engineers and all the technical people we require for the department to function properly. Other reprioritized budget of the MTF is for the following. Independent Development Trust has been allocated 150 million over the MTF at about 50-50 per annum. And the EPW incentives for non-state sector, and then the Council for Building and Borrowing, 30 million allocation. In addition, over the MTF period, the budget for the department has been reduced by 8.4 billion, and the reduction is under the following areas. Infrastructure, 1.8 billion. A reduction that is not a reduction in terms of the public welfare general, but a reduction in terms of the national vote, for we have now devolved the poverty rates conditional grants to provinces, and this amount to 6.487 billion over the years. The EBITDA integrated to municipalities, 110 million over the MTF. The infrastructure budget was initially reduced by 810 million, with 1 billion being further reduced later in January when National Treasury could not, was seeking to have the budget balanced and approached all departments. Further cuts, which were approved in terms of by cabinet to create the necessary fiscal space for our budget to be within the acceptable norms and targets. Given that there were now clear indications that there were projections of under recovery of fraud, which I think was part of the Minister of Finance's announcement. The reduced infrastructure budget includes 290 million being shifted to the Department of Home Affairs for land boards of entry infrastructure projects. The devolution of the poverty rates, as I've said, which phased out that fund to provincial Peter Brochet, but as a earmarked allocation within each of the provinces. The reduced EPW integrated to municipalities was reduced in line with the expected reduction of 1%. And 2% and 3%. So we looked at this and do not achieve that general reduction that was required in order to seek to balance the balanced budget that was identified at the initial stages of the budgeting process. The department received, against all of this, we then received an additional budget allocation for compensation of employees of 1.4 million over the MTF, for higher than expected salary increases for salary level 1 to 12. That's the normal adjustment for inflation purposes on salaries of employees in general. our oversight role on projects relating to payment of municipal rates and taxes. The National Department of Public Health has no legislative powers. We would like to indicate some of the structural and probably legislative deficiencies that exist, which we seek to address going forward, that are at the core of our either as problems or as part of things that we do with regard to our role over the provinces. We don't have the legislative power of the provinces. We have a concurrent function. We operate within the intergovernmental framework of seeking to cooperate at best and invoking those other legislative instruments outside of our environment where necessary if we have to intervene, which are so difficult. Unlike other sectors, we have this concurrent function. We have specific enabling legislation that is in line with the general legislation applicable for managing intergovernmental relations and fiscal relations in particular for doing that. Our intervention in Guapo, for example, has been led by National Treasury, and in most of the cases have used the instrument of the intergovernmental relations, intergovernmental relations framework, as well as those aspects of the public finance management that are applicable. The Minister of Finance appointed accounting officers in terms of the PFMA, as part of that intervention arrangement. In our case also, that was done through that program. It just makes it a bit cumbersome and very difficult to act immediately, decisively, when the minister realizes any of the provinces is incapable of fulfilling this function. And we're looking at coming back later to work out a proper public works act that would then include some of these things, including the role of the department in terms of when there are problems, but not only that, in supporting the provinces, in managing areas where they would be devolution to local governments are capable of doing that, like all of those sector departments that I've referred to. National Treasury has accepted our request that these funds that have been devolved to provinces be earmarked, as I indicated, which means that provinces will not be able to use these funds for any other purpose except to pay municipal rates and taxes, so that municipalities do not suffer as a result of fiscal pressures in any of the other spheres of government. For those governments' responsibility for their own taxes and rates. Our oversight role, therefore, will be through the following governance structures. MENAC, which are meetings of which take place quarterly, supported by Capital MENAC, chaired by myself as the DG of National Department of Public Works, and we meet also at least quarterly, but because of urgent administrative matters, we meet sometimes twice between MENAC to ensure that the agenda and the matters of MENAC are managed properly for efficiency and ability for the proper decisions to be taken. We have also resuscitated a DPW sector fearful forum, which is chaired by the CFO of the National Department, which then seeks to consider all matters, financial, and all matters that are audited in nature within the family, sharing good practices, guiding in particular areas within the spirit of cooperative governance. So that tells you, for example, if we're looking at the asset register project, when we finish the asset register project, we have a full asset register that complies with all requirements across the country, where provinces need to use it for the same purposes for those assets that fall within their scope of authority, will then be able to deal with it. So we're seeking to not just deal with the national outcome problems of audit that relate to this, but the national perspective. We also report to the members that Foster has been charged with the responsibility of coordinating deaths and settlements of resident bases and taxes to the National Department of Public Works. And I think also they also look at the issue of the 30-day payment problem that is perennial across government, and they monitor that and periodically report to cabinet on it. These are the EMR funds for the MTF, and I will not talk much about them, except to say they include those areas that are either earmarked for specific organizations of the department or earmarked because of the nature of the intergovernmental fiscal arrangements, particularly those that relate to the Division of Revenue Act, and then the allocation to the Parliamentary Village Management Board, and then largely the augmentation of the PMTE, which is an entity that houses all that deals with all the issues of property management. I think I will stop here and hand over to my colleague at this stage to then take us through the performance indicators, and the ABP, and the relevant program related budget issues until the end of the session. Thank you.
Yes. Before I give it to somebody else, there is an appeal which I wanted to do, that the person who is going to follow you, please be strategic and try to summarize your presentation so that we allow members to interact with your presentation so that we can be able to ask questions and clarifications. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair President. Good day again, honorable members. I won't go through the slides because it's just an explanation of the current plan, the template that came from National Treasury that all national departments are bound to use. But it's important that just to allude to the fact that the ADP and the Treasury plan are regulated by the National Treasury in terms of content. And we have an opportunity for the past 2 years during this current process, MTF, to actually submit APTs in draft form twice to National Treasury so that we ensure that the final APP or strategic plan is actually endorsed by both departments. Chapters in the current plan just outlines that instead of having one table, the current format of the APP as required by Treasury is quite useful because it forces us to actually operationalize the objectives in the first table and the annual target, but also more importantly, it actually forces all government departments to indicate the audited or actual performance. The second table also would speak to performance indicators, and the third table will speak to quarterly targets. Second thing that the DG alluded to before, Public Works has 5 programs. I'm going to speak very quickly to Program 1, which includes the Ministry and the Office of the DG, Finance and Supply Chain, and Corporate Services. And the bullets, they outline the units that fall, that are not branches, but fall under the DG's office. In terms of supply chain, finance and supply chain, the unit, as we all know, is tasked with financial management and ensuring that the property management the property management trading entity is actually managed also under them. Corporate Service is a huge corporate service branch which has human resources, information services, international relations, communications, legal services, security services, gender and disability. The DG has alluded to the budget, Chairperson, so I will skip that. This is the allocation of program one, which includes the ministry management, corporate services, and office accommodation. These are actually detailed allocations under program one, just to assist the members to be able to unpack the budget that has been presented to you before. I'm just going to focus on the column of the annual target. As I alluded before, internal audit falls under the DG, and they are required in terms of federal regulations to have an internal audit plan, which has to be approved by the Audit and Risk Management Committee, so that plan has been developed under implementation. The internal audit plan implemented in the form of 9 reports issued quarterly to the executive committee and the audit committee. Internal audit, as it is tasked with the auditing function, also looks after the function of fraud awareness in the department and will be conducting about 12 fraud awareness workshops for the current fiscal year. And we'll also focus on ensuring that it produces 4 progress reports on investigations for the year under review. The strategic management unit is responsible for the development of the APP and the strategic business. And that has to be tabled in Parliament on time every year. It's also responsible for ensuring that the department has a risk register. This is quite a cumbersome process because public welfare has 11 regions, and this includes interfacing with all those regions, including the head office. The high-level risk register of the department has to be presented to the audit committee on an annual basis, as it has to inform also the audit plan of the chief audit executive. We also focus on training on an annual basis, management and staff in the department on risk management. Under the unit also of the strategic management unit is a knowledge management unit, which is also a task to ensure that public work does build a centralized knowledge base for learning and development going forward. The MNE unit is in the process of being established, but there is an MNE policy. We should ensure that the MNE is a critical function, hence its location also in government, in the presidency, is fully resourced and functions optimally. The policy is under review and to ensure that MNE is institutionalized in the department. The MNE function also assists with the compilation of Chapter 2 of the annual report, and also has to ensure that the 4 quarterly performance reports that the department presents to Parliament are also done. It's also responsible for ensuring that evaluation reports on DPW performance and financial information is done, and that customized performance indicators developed with provincial public work are also done. You would recall that the DG alluded to the legislative mandate of public works national, and the fact that we envisage developing a public works act that will give the minister more, authority in terms of the interface with provincial public works. What we have done last year, we started a process of developing public indicators for the public works sector, which includes those provincial public works departments headed by MEDs. We also have an IGR unit, which ensures that our IGR function is implemented and is fully responsible for the coordination of the intergovernmental meetings on a quarterly basis as and when they are required. It's also responsible for the management of our public entities, four entities, which is the IDT, the Council for Built Environment, the Construction Industry Development Board, and Fremont South Africa. And it also ensures that those entities that report to Public Works do submit their performance reports on a quarterly basis to both the executive, to the accounting officer, and the executive authority. This is finance and supply chain, which is tasked with supply chain function and has committed to ensure that the policy directives, delegations, business processes are in place during the current year. And also the framework for the institutionalization of demand and acquisition management is done. That also there's an improved acquisition management function in the department and also a contract management framework in place. That also there's a document management framework and also that the department is fully compliant with accounting standards. HR, which falls under corporate services, is tasked with the development of the human resource plan, which is really about how the business should be resourced in terms of the resources required to run public works, which are highly technical in nature. And it's busy with the process of reviewing the organizational structure this year, working with the DPSA. They are also tasked with ensuring that they carry the function of employee health and wellness and also under the gender youth and people with disabilities chief directorate, that this function is mainstreamed to various interactions internally. We also, through this function, ensure that we do engage with DECO and the presidency to make our contribution to international reports which are required under the various international human rights instruments coordinated by the relevant department based in the presidency. This is the information services, which is really IT, which is in the process of reviewing the current IT systems and processes to ensure that we are able to have a complete immovable asset register, but also a project management system that works and is accountable. Legal services. Chairperson, this is a very critical function of Public Works, which really has to ensure that it has the capability to mitigate all litigation. As you know, that in the construction industry, there's a lot of such there's a lot of litigants, and the legal services unit is also going to be reviewed to ensure that it's fully capacitated to be able to manage the legal function. International relations. International relations does facilitate that function so that Public Works is able to relate to the international relations framework of government and position the department in terms of the Public Works function in the Africa region and globally through such structures as BRIC and et cetera, et cetera. Program 2. Honorable members, most of the budget of the department is spent under this program. And in the next program, which is program 3, which is the EPWP. Under this program, there are 4 sub-programs. Strategic asset investment analysis, projects and professional services, inner city regeneration, and operations management. Operations management really entails the 11 regional offices that Public Works Key account management and prestige management. These are the allocations, the sub program. But what's important, honorable members, to note under this, the breakdown that is provided under slide number 63, which is which indicates what I had allocated before that the program is one of the biggest in terms of allocation. Now, if you look at the annual targets 2013-2014, you recall that in terms of the outcomes that were read out in the beginning, we have to ensure that the public works immovable asset register does meet at least the minimum requirements as required by the AG. So we are committed to verify 54,647 properties in terms of those minimum requirements by both National Treasury and the Auditor General. We are also responsible under the program to ensure that all state immovable properties are vetted, and that is a figure that we are committed to for this year. And if you look at the various columns, they indicate the breakdown in terms of the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then the fourth quarter. We're also looking at ensuring that the custodian asset management plan is updated. And that is the capital works implementation program and the planned maintenance implementation program are also done and based on the custodial asset management plan. We also have a program of rehabilitating our government properties, and we have identified 15 for the current fiscal year. We are also obliged to ensure that government buildings are accessible to people who are disabled, and we have identified 100. And also, we also committed to release 19 properties for human to the Department of Human Settlements, and also release 16 properties for land reform purposes. Under the sub-program projects and professional services, Chairperson and honorable members, we commit to deliver 300 construction projects this year. The breakdown is below. Contribute to the EPWP by contributing 40,000 work opportunities through the capital works and maintenance programs alluded to before. And the breakdown is per province below. We also commit to ensure that 140 exempted micro enterprises are appointed on construction projects to respond to government's emerging contractor policy and priorities. 40 cooperatives are established. That there are 70 contractors under the contractor incubation program who benefit from public works budget, and that 55 contractors, which is 5 in each regional office, receive the competent certificates to mentoring and training. And that infrastructure constructed for artisan workshops in 4 regions is also up and running. You would recall that public works before, long before we were probably, some of us were born, used to have had workshops that were actively engaging to deliver public works service. Things like fixing globes, small things that you can do in any broken handle. Some of those workshops now, they need to be revived, and we have identified the need to rebuild public works and ensure that we don't just revive workshops for the sake of reviving them, but we also ensure that those artisans that will be graduating from the Department of Higher Education Intervention Program are able also to be absorbed into our workshops. And ensure that we contribute a lot to job creation in the country. Inner City Regeneration, this is a program that started with the city of Port to ensure that the city is revitalized, and we work with the Metro on this program. Those are the deliverables, Chairperson and honorable members. and for this year to ensure that the Inner City Generation Program is implemented. There are four sites to be identified within the Paul Cooper precinct for head office accommodation of national departments. That will include building from scratch those head offices to identify the departments. The current slide shows where the buildings are, which is Paul Kruger, West Capital, Caledon, and Sunny Park. Chairperson, this is a detail that honorable members can look into, which provides a breakdown of that 70.1 million. Operation management, as I said before, it is the region, these are public works regions, and the annual targets there indicate what the regions will be delivering this current year. Just to remind the members that public works regional offices are the executing arm of the department. Most of public works budget is actually spent in the regions. So they are trying to ensure that in the lease review or the turnaround of the leasing portfolio, they will also be heavily involved. And they set the target of what they are responsible for in terms of the 2,778 leases. As the big implementers of our public works budget, they are also heavily involved in the maintenance program, and also checking the issue of the management of those day-to-day maintenance calls is very important to ensure that public works does live up to its vision of being a service provider to government. We have also committed to the development of a business case for facilities management, which will assist the regions to carry out a proper facilities management function. We have also committed to ensure that we do our inspections, but it's quantified to ensure that we're able to measure our impact in terms of that particular function. The region are also tasked to ensure that state properties for the payment of rates and taxes to municipalities are actually verified. Also, verification of 1,827 leased properties for the payment of municipal services. The breakdown, Chairperson, in terms of the first quarter and the other quarters is on the right of the table. The regions are also tasked to ensure that 1,453 property rental debtors are managed in terms of signed contracts, including terms and conditions. Key account management. This is the front desk of public works. Everything that everybody requires from public works is actually managed by this function. And the issues of service delivery improvement program feature a lot. The issue of SLA service level agreements that we need to sign with our various clients at national government also fall under this function. But we're also mindful, honorable members, that in carrying out our mandate of providing accommodation to the national department, we also have to also handhold and ensure that user asset management plans are also developed in compliance with NAMA. So the annual target column, it captures all of those issues. We also, in terms of improving our service, our clients commit that there will be 11 monthly reports that will be submitted to the National User Department to ensure that public works and its clients are at the same level of understanding when it comes to what the client wants and how public works is affected to deliver clients. We have also identified the need for a client value proposition to ensure that the prestige function that has that makes us to be in the newspapers almost every day is properly implemented. All the issues that are outlined there under the prestige program, as you know, the prestige program is broad and also includes this parliament, and we have to ensure that the other service level agreements, there is a policy framework in place, and that also training is undertaken for our clients. This is a list of user departments or client departments that currently have not signed SLA with public works, but the department is but the department is working on that to ensure that those things are attended to. The EPWP, this is the allocation specific to this program from the budget that the DG read in the beginning. It's broken down so that it speaks to what is expected of this program. Annual targets, 255 municipalities are expected to be reporting on EPWP targets in the current year. And 1.2 million work opportunities to be created during the current fiscal year. And that there's a breakdown of those work opportunities in terms of the different categories, the youth, women, and persons with disabilities. And that the youth program, the target is 3,500 youth to participate in the National Youth Service Program, which has been ongoing for the past few years. And that 140,000 work opportunities are created on provincial access roads. Chairperson and honorable members, this explanatory note which speaks to most of what the DG alluded to before, but also provides a detail of where the work opportunities will be coming from. And it also provides the breakdown of the allocations in terms of the EPWP budget. And also gives a nice summary by province, so that you can have a sense of how much each province is receiving and to ensure that the work opportunities target in terms of the transfer to municipalities are met. This also explains the integrated grant to provinces, and this also provides a provincial breakdown. Social sector EPWP integrated incentive grant to provinces and provide the breakdown by each province. This slide, Chairperson, provides the transfers and expenditure to provincial departments in terms of the EPWP integrated grant, and also gives the breakdown in terms of all the provinces. Program 4 is construction and property policy regulation, which is a program. And the budget here is what has been allocated to this program. But it's really about where most of the legislation resides. Know that we have to table the current year, the AGRIMA South Africa legislation, which seeks to ensure that AGRIMA South Africa is legally or is properly legally reconstituted as an independent entity. We also going to table this year the expropriation bill, honorable members, which has been in public space after, and the deputy minister is driving that process. The IDT is in a process of, the IDT is being reviewed because it will be funded now, or is currently funded by government, but the process of reconstituting the IDT to benefit from the government budget is also under consideration. The function, the branch is also responsible for ensuring that the PFTE business case is done and completed during the current financial year. Program 5 Auxiliary and Associated Services. Most of state events, including the inauguration, the funerals, allocation to Commonwealth graves, fall under this program.
I'm sure it's a Brazilian member.
We have to make these disclosures, honorable member. We still take care of Commonwealth claims when there is an allocation, but so this is the breakdown of the budget in terms of in terms of this program. The allocation for state functions is based on the number of state events planned annually and the estimation of the possible events that might take place. The cost of previous events are used as the baseline to estimate future expenditure. More often than not, Chaperton, we have to spend, we spend from this program when an honorable member passes on. This is where we get the money for all of those things. And also the state functions as required by the presidency. We do have a calendar for all the state functions. And we also, as part of carrying out the mandate of the state function, providing infrastructure and support for that function. Chaperton, this, I think it will be important. I will not go through this because it's quite a laborious detailed, but it's for the members to actually take a look at this, because this is the infrastructure plan that we have submitted to Treasury. The way it is designed, it is a request from Treasury, exactly. And this is where the departmental budget goes. And if you look at all the programs that I've alluded to before, if you look at, for example, the first row, state departmental, that allocation goes to the capital works. It's an allocation to capital works for public works. As you know, that capital works is two streams, the client capital works budget and also public works budget. But there's also a list of the programs that fall under public works and also how much will be spent by when. So this is not a laborious submission to Treasury, to meet Treasury requirements, but it does provide a lot of detailed information which will assist members to be able to see where the infrastructure budget is going or will be spent on. And it does a breakdown in terms of all of those projects that we have alluded to. So I will not go through this chapter. As alluded to before, Chaperton, the department is indeed ensuring that there is an organizational review to ensure that we are geared to deliver public works function. As the current structure was approved way back and does not necessarily suit the current arrangement, public works finds it okay. Chaperton, the current slide just shows, provides honorable members with time frames going forward that we have set for ourselves to ensure that the organizational review is actually clear in terms of what will be done by when. So all this detail will be found under this slide. And this is the organogram of the department as it is currently Chaperton and honorable members. But as I have said, it will change given the current review of the entire organizational structure of public works. Thank you, Chaperton. I hope I have not robbed you. I hope I've
assisted. I think you're done.
May you switch off that mic? Thank you. I won't say anything on the last to comment. Therefore, I would like to give this opportunity to
the members to interact with the briefing and the reputation of that inside Mama Bicham. Honorable Babu Nezane, followed by Honorable Kunye Valt, followed by Babu Dao, followed by Babu Jacobs. To start here.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 32, slide 64, I see the strategic asset investment management going according to first quarter up to the fourth quarter. But then I'm having a problem because just check on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Polokwane, and the first quarter. 1,295, and as a rep for Limpopo, having a constituency area, I don't know how will I know when I do my constituency work oversight, where do I go to ensure, to check, to make it happen oversight over such assets. It's just Polokwane, because Polokwane is a big city. Whether this is for Polokwane only, and if it's like that, then I'll have a problem, because in my constituency there are a lot of public work buildings with some with allegations that they were sold at very low prices, some have been looted. Even the constituency office that I was using, people came to me so many times saying, are you operating here where the building has been looted? Using the giving that person state money. So to avoid problems, I moved out. So I don't know if you are able to give us precisely the places where the buildings are according to the asset register, because we once raised this in one of our meetings that we are unable to do proper oversight when we are in our constituencies because we do not have information. And it was said time and again, we are still busy with updating the asset register. So I'll just ask the department to assist us as public reps so that we are able to implement correctly, because an informed leader is an effective leader. Without information, we are just useless, and information we get is from the department. Thank you.
No, remember, Chamber.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to add, but before that, let me thank the department for the presentation and say what Honorable Mabija is saying, if we can get that information for all the provinces. For example, if you say Nelspruit, you only talk about the city of Nelspruit. We've got the MLO, we've got Bad Plus, we've got, if you can give, I think it's not the first time that we are really asking this information. We have long, every time when you are here, we do ask for this information. The other time we visited the regional office here in Western Cape, we were also told about the assets, even the buildings of public works, that sometimes you think the person is occupying, and when that person leaves the house, doesn't even inform the department that I'm moving out. And then, you know, the hooligans occupy, the windows are being broken. So if you can tell us, give us this information, and tell us how do you really monitor these houses? Because I can tell you, in some provinces you can go unannounced to these houses to find a person who's occupying that house, a person who is actually not entitled. to stay in that house. And the other, Ms. Fatela, you raised something on prestige programs. I'm going to ask about the parliamentary villages. Do you have people specifically checking on the quality of the houses that the members are staying in? Do you have a unit or a person? You mentioned something that something was there before you were born, but I think even these houses that the members are staying there, some of you were not born. Maybe if I was born during those houses when they were built, maybe I was like a little girl. Do you know how the quality of those houses? You fix the tap today. After 2 days, you must go and report it again. The toilet, you must go and report it. After 2 days, you must go and report it again. The walls, I don't talk, I'm not saying anything about the walls, but if you can, just give yourself time. And we do have in our parks, we do have where the domestic workers, of which the helpers are staying. Do you really, as the department, give yourself some time and go there and find out how these people are staying, domestic workers? If maybe you can just not, don't send the juniors, Didi. If you can visit those places yourself and see how the people who are actually assisting members of parliament, where they are staying. The buildings of public works also. For example, there's a building in MLO that the tree fell on top of it. It was a labor center. If you can tell us how long is it going to take you to actually make sure that these buildings that are really falling are going to be revamped. And on the project that you mentioned, if you can, you know, for us when we debate, because we will be talking to the world, or let's say to the public, to society, if we know the projects that in Mpumalanga, in Hazyview, EPWP project has assisted so many young people, so many women, you know, and tell us all those projects, the projects that are actually sustainable. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member Mlilana.
Thank you, Senator Chairperson. DG, thank you for the presentation. It's well planned, detailed, 142 slides. That's why I was like worried when you were going through word to word or word by word or word for word when you were dealing with those slides. Hey, 142 slides. Hey. But thanks for the detail.
Also, Chairperson, I was asking my colleagues as to when was the DG appointed, because maybe for me I missed one other meeting when he was with us. For me, it's for the first time that I am him in this meeting. So I would then, if this was done before, wish you well in this department. If that was done, there's nothing wrong with, you know, and or the way we should. I am specific around this.
because DG, there has been land in Mount Frey. I'm sure they break you.
That immediately you come here, you'll be asked about this question. The land for X rank in Mount Frey, which was awaiting for a signature for the past 10 years.
I hope that now that has ultimately
happened, the signature part of it. If now one could be taken through as to next steps now towards the transfers and all that, so that we realize the actual building of Texarac.
I don't want to say to a DG this is just that old information, but from a new person. But it looks like I had to restructure my question around the asset register. I had a pre-structured question. Let me read it. It was like, how are your relations and or synergy with provincial public works departments? And I further asked, are your asset register talking to each other? Now, I had to restructure that question, having listened to the presentation, that it looks like the asset register is still chairperson, not yet back. Which means that question was wrong. Now, I had to restructure it and ask DG, what are the realistic and very clear time frames for the development of an asset register? We don't want this term, you said in the medium term. We don't want that. If it could be a month and a date. Because we have been happening on this day. We are leaving Parliament next year by April. We will not be here, many of us. This we have been saying for the past 4 years. So when, or if we could be told, Chairperson, what is this that is a critical problem? What is that is holding this thing? Why so many years? So that we know. Chair, I listened carefully when the DG was talking on slide 15, and he introduced a new term. And you know, I marked this one. He spoke of an earmarked grant to provinces. I asked a question, Chair. Does this guarantee of firm control over provinces? Now, listening to you going through with your presentation, I had researched this very same question, DG. Because when now the chief director was dealing with slide 23, she introduced now us, first bullet, reminding us of the cause and function. Then I said, ha, what is this now? Where are we? Because we have been saying the National Department of Public Works doesn't have teeth to bite when it comes to control over provinces. And we're in agreement that this is because of the cause and function. As per slide 23, I think bullet 1, if I'm correct. So then, what then would you mean when you are talking of an earmarked kind of... It's a new term. I wonder how earmarked, perhaps friendly, or what. I don't know, sir. Hence, this has to be clarified. Chair, perhaps the DG, as he looks into the...
You are not talking rationalization of the department. We're talking of reorganizing the department when we were talking the organization structure. And then one would be interested as to,
are you continuing with this persistent refusal
of aligning your regional offices to provincial offices. I mean, we have been refusing, literally. We have been saying this throughout the past 4 years, but you are refusing. For instance, Eastern Cape, we have got an office in Umtata and another office in PE. Then the provincial office is in the mid Bishop. And you find the situation that your own staff members do not even know each other. They are from the Department of Public Works. But when this one goes to Mumbai, the company would say public works are here. And another public works would come. Who is that public works? So I just want to check if I continue with this refusal. Check. There are many of the questions, but I will come back. I want to allow time for other members.
Thank
you, Chairperson. From my side, also thank you for the presentation. And if your turnaround strategy look like this presentation, I've got a really hope for public works in the future. Outcome 8, you talk about sustainable human settlement and quality of household life. What I want to know there is, what is the control measures what you have in place from now on? Because if you are looking into the past, many houses are built all over South Africa and it is falling apart at this stage. And I want to use an example. Last year we was at Mutu in KwaZulu-Natal, and there was 500 houses demolished. And the promises made by ministers at that stage was that they will get into that area immediately. And what I want to know is, how far is this project now at this stage? What do you have done up to now in Mutu specifically regarding that houses? We were also in Piet Retief the beginning of this year. There was a water bottling project.
Sorry. You see, honourable members, I wanted to request an appeal that please, you know, we must make a differential. This is public works. I think the houses which you are referring to, you are correct, but they're supposed to go to the Department of Human Settlement. And I'm worried because most of the time, when you correct some members, when they go out, then they will say that they are not given a chance to speak. Mm-hmm. Let me correct you on that one. This is public works, it's not human settlement.
Chairperson, Public Works was at a stage involved in that. Okay, but I will leave it there. The water bottling project in Piet Retief, it is something contained, I do not exactly the community there. There was Public Works also involved in that project, but that project was half built, and there was already 5 something spent on that project. And the information we've got there at that date is that Public Works are continuing to finish this project, and there was still a couple of millions outstanding. And at that stage, that building was really damaged. The roof was damaged, and there was a lot of problems in it. And I also want to know, how far is this project at this stage? Is it complete, or what is going on there? I want also to know, and that is on slide 14, there's a decrease on the budget allocation from 7.7 billion in 2012-13 to 6.17 in 2013-14. What is the reason, therefore? Actually, if we are looking into that, there's always an increase year after year, but there was a decrease, and that is quite a magnificent amount. So I want to know what is the reason of that. I think of the immovable asset registers was a lot of to say by the previous members. I also have a question about that, and a lot of these things in the provinces is maybe that is the reason why it's not finished at this stage. Premiers, MECs and councillors are involved in the rent out of housings, and they own some of these flats in some of our communities and municipalities. Then program one, what will happen to the historic residents of Nustas? There was something in the newspapers this morning about the historic residents, and that public works are not going to renovate it anymore into the future. So if you can give us more information about that, they will rather build new houses, because it is easier to keep that houses in order as the old houses. So if you can, and if you are going to sell these houses, who's going to do it? And or what are you going to do with these historic houses or buildings or residents in our communities where ministers, mostly ministers are staying in these houses? And then I also want, and that isn't maybe that program 5, page 122, you can help us there with that expenditure. Maybe that is a way a lot of the expenditure of the Nkandla is going to. So if you can give us more information, what was the really involvement from public works into this situation? And then I want to know how many legal people worked in the Department of Public Works. And then, Chairperson, my last question is, what happened to the new parliament was in process? They already, in the opposite of the street, the many buildings was already demolished, and what is going on there up to now? Thank you. New parliament.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. I tried to caution Honourable my friend not to mention Randa, but he found a way of smuggling it in. It was very difficult for him to find space for it, but he managed not to mention it. But Chair, thank you very much. Let me also appreciate the presentation. Let me just run through these things, because I was looking at various documents from the department. The first one, your construction budget, because as part of the strategic your strategic context and so on, one of the things that you preoccupy yourself, DJ, is the construction of property for. There are two universities that are going to be built, Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, in the current financial year. That's what the Minister of Higher Education said. Your budget, where's the budget for this? Is it with you, or is it with the Department of Education? And if it is with the Department of Education, whose responsibility is it going to be for the construction of these two universities? That would be quite important to know. Your program too, I must comment the department there. Because if you look at the program two projects and professional services, it is quite clear that there's a shift even, and it's the first time I come across a presentation of this nature from a department where you look at provinces and allocate equity, you know, unlike this old province that I come from. It always receives the least in whatever allocation, whether it be resources that are going to be channeled for development, for job creation, or whatsoever. But I see here in your projects and professional services, you always try to share with provinces equally. The incubation projects and whatsoever that the department intends to do, that there's a clear an intention to do that equally. And I want to commend the department on that one. You raise an issue, DJ, insofar as intergovernmental relations is concerned. I'm looking at this report, and it's a report of the Select Committee of Appropriations and the public hearing fourth quarter expenditure pattern by provinces. You raise a challenge that you have insofar as legal instruments are concerned. But here's an institution, the National Council of Provinces, which has got the capacity through its committees to call provinces, MECs, DGs from provinces to come and account on money that has been allocated to them. That's an important instrument. So it cannot be. I find it quite difficult to understand for the decision to say we've got a challenge here. It's as if there's nothing that you can do until this piece of legislation is in place. Then you can
hold provinces accountable or intervene where necessary and so forth. Because these public hearings are so strategic in the sense that once you have the political head and the administrative head from provinces, you have national treasury as well. Because these are grants that you have transferred to provinces. And provinces are accounting. You are there. You are able then on the basis of that also to influence the direction whilst but still working on the issue of the legislation that will become coming forward. So I'm raising this to say the department cannot then sit back and say there's nothing that can do until we have this this piece of legislation. Maybe as a follow-up to what Honorable Temba was raising there, you are allocating, according to your presentation, I don't know if it's 1 billion or 9 million to parliamentary village boards in this current financial year, because I suspect that it's a baseline for this year, 2013-14. And if then that is the case, rather to build on that question would be, how effectively are the finance, the village boards capacitated to be able to manage this money? And if not, who then comes the agency that is going to assist them to be able to manage the kind of amount of money? And maybe to take it further, what is the money for? Is it for meetings of these parliamentary village boards, or what is it for? Because now for the past 3 years, members of parliament, and we've been raising it consistently with the Department of Public Works, there's a high level of unfitness amongst members, and there's been a simple request that you just build or renovate a section there where we can even mobilize our own resources. Resident Active was willing to give us treadmills over those equipment, so that when members knock off, they are then able to get on a treadmill, spend about 30 minutes and remain fit. Then we sit here the whole day, we eat these things, and then the next thing is high blood, it's sugars, and all those sorts of things. So I don't know, maybe this one, 9 million or whatsoever, probably it's intended for that. We'll very much appreciate that. The construction of schools, you say that the build, you have targeted to build 200 schools nationally, but insofar as your report is concerned, the Department of Basic Education had clearly committed 30 schools for the Eastern Cape. It would be interesting to know what then about other provinces. For this financial year, is it this 30 schools only for this financial year, or how do you balance this 200, the 30 schools, or does it mean that it's only Eastern Cape for now, 30, so we still have 170, which you are waiting for other provinces to then come forward and say, this is the amount of schools that we have targeted and so forth in the rural areas and so on. It would be quite interesting to know that. Of course, your lack of control in supply chain, I'm happy that you're saying that you're trying to do your best in so far as that is concerned. And a direct question, your key medium priorities, as outlined in this document, or this presentation, my direct question is, are these achievable? The way I look at them, and I ask myself, well, if you'll be able to achieve all of them, or the department is just ambitious. There's nothing wrong to be ambitious, but it would have been quite interesting to have a practical issues before us. Your public entities, man, I'm also quite interested in the public entities, because the report only mentions the public entities insofar as allocations are concerned, but we don't get to hear the monitoring mechanism of these public entities that you all do oversight on, because that's your oversight function, of course not limiting or taking it away from us. But at the departmental level, do you have a unit, or do you have systems that then create that environment for you to be able to monitor your public entities? What I find very interesting here is the foreign government and international bodies or organizations that are being given 22,741,000. What are these foreign governments and international organizations? I'm not talking about the auxiliary services. It comes out, I can't remember which slide is that. Let me just quickly check here. Yeah, it's under slide 15, where you have transfers and subsidies. You say foreign government and international organizations. It's not auxiliary. Auxiliary is clearly understood. But now these international organizations are one, especially in the light of the current allegation that Al-Qaeda has been given space to train people. So I don't know whether the DA, maybe they're using that those funds to fund these international organizations, such as Al-Qaeda. I'm just joking. Yeah. And I see here as a last issue, of course I'll take off the auxiliary one because it has already explained. There's a reduction of your infrastructure budget insofar as the, I don't know whether it is treasury and so on. I mean, infrastructure is a key issue now that preoccupies government. When you speak of job creation, when you speak of skills development, youth employment, improving the quality of the life of our people, and you still find such a program receiving less. How do you balance that? Maybe I don't understand. There are billions of money that are challenged there, and then a key department that drives this program, or that ordinarily one would expect to be at the forefront of the, as a reduction on that. Maybe I don't understand it. If you can explain it to me, I'll be very happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. Okay, I wanted to comment something. Let me read it. Because I'm scared sometimes we don't bring things here, but other people are able to bring them outside. Honourable Member Jacobs, please.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's always a problem when you come the last one to ask questions, because you just have to emphasize on the questions that have been asked. Chair, you know, this department, Public Works, it is a department which should be creating jobs. But that is not happening. It should be creating jobs and also giving skills to our own people as well as artisans. I don't know. Maybe our vision in this department, we are not meeting. For instance, this EPWP supposed to give skills, but now are we meeting the objectives of this program? Because normally when you go to municipalities, this money is not used for EPWP. It's used to give people just short-term jobs. Normally they say, Gimansalal. And now, how do you as a department monitor? I'm not saying monitor by the reports that come to you, because all those reports, they could be good. Do you go to the provinces and see actually whether these municipalities or even provincial departments are carrying out these EPWP programs? Because I'm saying this, these skills which should be acquired by these youths, how do we link them also to companies, construction companies that give them tenders? There are so many construction companies that we give them tenders. Do you link them with these people who have received skills in the EPWP? Also, you said, talked about the artisan in the industry. How do you link them with this? And also this incubation program. I think there must be a link with that. For instance, we visited Childhood Employment Services here in Cape Town. I know it's for disabled people and old people, but those people have skills. They have skills, and those skills can be utilized for youth to get skills. And I think what we are doing these things always in isolation. There is no coordination in what we are doing with departments, because I think we can do that. And also this issue of IDT. There was a time when IDT came here. It had problems. And you are using it as your agency to build schools and so on. How do you monitor it? How do you trust it that it does the work which it's supposed to do? Because they did come and make a presentation, but there were problems to be involved with IDT. So now you are still using it again. The other one is the issue of asset register. I think if it's not last year, it's the year before last, they said there was a company which was doing this, and it was supposed to have been finished. When we were told, they said it was about March. And I think that now about 2 years, we are still saying we are doing the asset register. Can't we even get the draft asset register? If it's not complete, give us a draft so that we must be able to see what is actually happening with that asset register. Well, sometimes you'll be saying we have completed this, because we are staying in provinces. We know, some of us, we know the buildings or the land which belongs to the government. So we just want to check whether that has been included. I think it's important, because they say also during the homelands era, the houses and the land that belongs to the government, which is not there. So that's why we are saying we need to have that draft asset register, so that we must be able to check it even if before you finalize it. Because I think it's a long time now. And the Honorable Levin always said we are left about 8 months or so on. We will no longer be here. So we need that. The other one is this issue of inner city regeneration. I don't know which cities are you regenerating. Because in my province where I come from, I also have a city. So I would like to also to benefit to these funds we have been given here. We cannot just always say Pretoria and Johannesburg. They are the ones who have to benefit from this inner city regeneration. So I think other provinces must also benefit. And now, the other one is the issue of regional offices. Last time in Durban, seemingly there was a conflict between the national office and the regional office on the issue of tenders. Yeah. Has that now been resolved? If we can get clarity on that one, has it been resolved? I believe the Department of Public also generates money on its own. And there is this structure, the property management and trading entity, which is not operational, which is supposed to manage the funds that have been generated. Can we get clarity also, or a follow-up on that issue? Maybe out of interest, we would have loved to know the developments in Limpopo through your intervention. The intervention which has been there, that is, what is the progress up to now? Thanks.
Thank you. Before I start to ask questions, but let me start with them and then I'll comment later. I also like to join my colleagues, but to say, I'm happy when the members raised the issue of a full team of the department. DG, what happened? The people who came before or 18, whatever, it might happen they were coming but not coming to the committee. That's why the members are asking this question. Of which we prefer that in future, like everything towards the budget vote, it's so sensitive. We need the whole team. But today we can feel that the team is here. But previously, nevertheless, I'll come to the questions. Didi, let me start asking question now. I'll start with this. Concerning the annual report on 2011-2012, in terms of the issue of vacancies, we had serious challenges in terms of vacancy rate, of which that's some of the challenges which you raised before, and that contribution factor was the issue of vacancies. May you please take us about that, how far are you with these vacancies which were mentioned in the previous annual report? And then also, maybe to assist us, what is the current status of the Auditor General's finding? Because I thought that you would also hint about it. And then, with the issue of the vacancy rate, again, 2 days ago, we saw the minister was busy trying to do 1, 2, 3 about if some of the members of the public works. May you please take us on board where if there are any people found guilty on corruption and how many a day, and then also indicate whether there are any charges against them. And then again, with any means, maybe to try to get back that money which was lost, if there was money lost. And then also, DG, from your presentation, on page 5, slide number 10, you spoke about challenges. You see, with these challenges, may you please elaborate more, because yes, yeah, about time frames. I will put an example that you highlighted the challenges, like the lack of controls and in supply chains. What are you doing from, you know, because yeah, you just highlighted, and then also it's wise in the next coming future to indicate that the people who are assigned have been assigned in specific in terms of the issues which were identified. And then also you said poor lease management. Yes, we know. I'll put an example on what was happening in Limpopo, but the poor management in terms of the lease. That's why it was put under section 101D. But you never told us exactly what is the department doing. We keep on identifying the things. And that's what said earlier, there. Inadequate immovable assets register. Ubabu Jacobs, Tashili, but I was going to expand more. If you can help us in that regard. And then else, DG, there was a thing which was raised by Honourable Member Dow about the issue of mentioned about schools and et cetera, universities which have been identified. Therefore, my worry is on, I wanted to specific about the slide. There is a slide which talk about, let me check page A, where is page A? The money, yes, on page 10, slide number 20, whereby you spoke about the baseline reduction. You see, I'm subject for correction and also learning. I'll check myself because we're in the process of learning. That if really, like we talk about the building of 2 universities, but this side, to me, it is a contradiction. May you please clarify us and check us about that. Therefore, if we're about to build school and then there is a reduction of about 8.4 billion rands, of which also is affecting the infrastructure. How are you going to manage to build this school? That's the question which was raised by you, Honourable Member Dow. To me, it is a contradiction. This side was saying, going to build school. This side was choosing the budget. To me, it doesn't talk to each other. May you please take us on board in that regard. And the thing which, let me go to page 46, slide 98. Page 46. I wanted to raise something as well there. No, maybe I'll pretend wrongly. Well, I'll come back to what I wanted to raise. Because I wanted to raise something with this account management and like. that stage things. But nevertheless, teaching in terms of programs and projects which are directly linked to youth, if you can take us on board, I know that there is PWP, etc. Why I'm raising that, I think as one of the colleagues, the members indicated that we are expecting the public works as among of the departments who are supposed to make sure that is creating jobs. So if you have any programs for youth development. And lastly, if you can take us on board that we know that there is a task team still busy in Limpopo under section 120, what are the latest developments? And honourable members, I'd like to pose my question on that, but to comment something as well again. At least, I know, I was checking to time that it's time is behind us, and I know that there are members who does have still some questions, and I'll request the department that be specific to some of the questions and respond. If some of the questions you didn't respond, let's arrange that you respond in writing, because I believe in this exercise that members are the ones who are supposed to get much time. Because also, I wanted to ask something about the issue of PMUs. Because you...
The what?
PMUs.
Oh.
But I wanted to leave now, because I wanted to create a space for a second round for the members. They might come up with it. Over to the department here.
Thank you, Chair. It's quite a handful. Maybe let me start with the one that relates to when was the DG appointed? That is much the conduct. Chair, I was appointed and started working with the effect from the 15th of January this year. There's certainty about that now. I would like to thank members for the questions and comments that have been made. I will distribute the work among the colleagues. I think as the question was asked, people were taking notes on the areas of the but there might be, Chair, we probably made this presentation oblivious of the fact that we've not had as much interaction with this committee as we have had with the portfolio committee. Of course, some of the context, the way in which we summarized, is based on the fact that we may have had a detailed presentation on a subject with the portfolio committee, and therefore, perhaps we have overlooked the fact that we don't have regular interactions with this committee. And I think that the suggestion that has been made in the context of dealing with this intergovernmental challenge, we're not saying we're not going to do anything with regard to that. We're saying the environment, as we speak, is as I had indicated, which is quite different from other sectors within this, that are playing in this intergovernmental space. In that regard, I think the suggestion made with regard to utilizing this committee in relationship to monitoring and ensuring that the provinces in relationship to the functions that that relate to the grants, for example, that we're transferring to them, perform as much as they should,
even within the absence of the proper legislation in the sector. And I think we will utilize this committee. In that regard, I would think the committee could share your quarterly evaluation, presentations, inviting ourselves and some of those provinces that may not be performing properly. In that regard, that you've done check before, is it, in this committee, and I think that is something that we would welcome, and it helps in ensuring that all of us are kept honest with regard to our functions as provinces. We've noted that, and I think we will follow it up appropriately. Yeah, I'm going to ask my colleagues to answer, and then I will only deal with matters that remain unresolved after they provided the responses, so that I can wrap up and summarize. But I think, Chair, from time to time we may indicate that if we may provide you additional information that you require, such as, for example, I see the question that relate to the slides where we have listed our regions, Limpopo, probably Polokwane. We say Polokwane, that's the region that covers Limpopo. Mthatha, it's not Mthatha as a town, but it's just the region that is whose office is based in Mthatha. So when we make those references, it's not that it doesn't cover the towns around Polokwane in detail, but that detail is not here. We just summarize by the regional office and the figures of the projects that are there. So I think in that regard, Chair, most of this information is available, is taken from registers in the department in an appropriate form, and probably for future engagements, we could actually come and present some of those projects to the committee, just to know what is being done in that city, in that town, etc., etc. May I ask Mr. Mkhaza Kwazube, who deals with projects, DG, to then cover all the matters that relate to that, including the schools program, maybe reference to the universities, and then after that I will ask acting DGs, or no one is acting yet. No, he is fully responsible and functional. If he's appointed, he's fully appointed. He's fully appointed. He signed a performance agreement with me, so that if I fire him, the only difference is I can fire him back to his job, and not into the class, unless he has to be arrested because of corruption. but he's not corrupt. he's fully and is the DDG responsible for that, for the period that was his access to him is 2 years. that applies to the CFO, the chartered accountant sitting next to me.
I'm also going to get fired.
So I'm going to ask Mr. Chapasco then to answer the question that relates to assets and assets register and investments, etc. And then I will ask the DG responsible for inner city regeneration. DG. I'm promoting. I'm not very well. to then respond to that. And then the DG responsible for regional coordination will then handle the balance. And my colleague sitting on the right, who was presenting, will then deal with the other issues of monitoring institutional, the planning issues and institutional monitoring. And then me and the CFO will deal with everything that remains, including the numbers.
All right. Thanks, TJ. Chair, honorable members, cognizant of the time, I'll be straight to the point. I picked up three questions relating to infrastructure, and then there are two additional ones that the DG has added. Start with the easy one. I think, firstly, the point is taken around the linkage of EPWP to the other programs that we actually implement in the department. The answer to your question, sir, is that that linkage is not there in an active way. This program is pursuing its own objectives and then it concludes. But I think the point is taken for us when we're going forward to how we create linkages. Because some of the objectives of the various programs were never initially even designed to speak to one another. If you look at EPWP as an example, its founding concept was to create short-term job opportunities so people can get work experience in various sectors, which is about four of them. And only one has a close fit to the infrastructure one, and which is the infrastructure sector. And even in the infrastructure sector, the question then that becomes, how do you become involved in that particular space? If you look at our contractor incubator program, its object is not short-term work opportunities. It is to develop enterprises. Mm. Therefore, you want to develop an enterprise per se, not to say how do the enterprises employ unemployed people who are not skilled and so forth. So the question here is, how do you start to create linkages with different objectives, which are all noble and are all required for us to achieve the things we're set out to achieve? So the point there, I think the point is taken. We need to start to see how do we start to build linkages amongst our programs at large, not just public works programs, even programs that are transversal and with other state departments. There was a question that related to the requesting information on sustainable projects. I think we must first start with the understanding of the definition of what a project is. A project is going to define lifespan. So its sustainability is linked to the duration of that particular project. So its durability could be anything that could range from a 6-month project to a 5-year project, depending on the nature and the complexity of the work that is linked to it. Where there's a question that arises of saying, how do you start to create a character of sustainability is when you start to look at maintenance programs. Now, maintenance programs by their nature are not necessarily sexy programs to actually fund and even to maintain. But I think what's important as a request from the department, especially the branch itself, of projects would be the question of saying, how Parliament actually assists us to bring back NIMS, the National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy, as a priority. Because that's the only way we can start to put a character of sustainability. The country does have a National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy. It's just not getting priority in terms of funding. It's not a capital program. You're not building anything new. You are saying, how do you sustain existing infrastructure? We don't decide on those priorities in terms of what is funding, but it's a question of saying, we could then be reverting back to Parliament to ask, how then do you get such programs that have a character of sustainability to start to get priority? Not to say capital programs do not, it's when you have to make difficult choices with limited resources. The third question related to the aspect of youth programs. Within the context of infrastructure development, I think we always start to move back from a premise that says, first, public works is a technical department. I will not venture into the space of EPWP that will deal with providing a level of experience and skills to the unskilled. But within the space of those who get qualifications in the technical areas, be it be professionals or artisans, there are a number of things we've got in the pipeline. What is it that we're doing? The first one, the department has a program known as the Human Capital Investment, which resides under corporate services. Its intent there is simply within the context of the skills pipeline of the built environment is to say, how do we start to provide some level of structure to the candidacy phase once somebody has graduated with a qualification, which needs to be supplemented with practical experience that is signed off by a qualified professional before they can get registration so they can then practice as independent professionals. That is what we're participating in. It is not adequate. I think that needs to be said. It's our start in terms of intervening in a particular space where we provide, we've got young professionals in the department, in the various professional streams that we have, getting them the required professional experience and working them through programs so they can get registered. It is not, when I say it's not adequate, it is not the scale that is required to start to address, even stabilize, the challenge we have with skilled, lack of skilled professionals, not only in public works, but in the entire state infrastructure. So that is what at least we're doing in that particular space within the scope of our resources, but it requires a much wider intervention. I can at least say that there is an approved framework for the skills pipeline, but then again, it requires funding to that effect in terms of where to gain the scale that it requires. The pipeline has four components to it, in the pre-tertiary stage, the tertiary stage, the candidacy phase, and post-registration phase. And as I've indicated, we're only focusing on one component of that phase, but within the limited scope of our budget. The two additions that the DG has given me, I'll start with the easier one of the two, which is the universities. The Department of Higher Education is not a traditional client of Public Works. Even education, because the department was split into basic and higher. Even within that context, it's not a client in terms of national department, in terms of who we look after. The question of who actually ends up constructing the universities will be the client's decision, I would like to think, in this particular context. The Minister of Higher Education will have to decide who he wants as his implementing agent to implement the program. But where is Public Works involved in this space? In the making availability and the services of clearing land, which is normally known as site clearance, where town plan services and provisions need to be undertaken. We are participating in the task team set up to deal with this particular matter. And I think as a point of reference, the two universities belong as part of the SIP program, not SIP, the PICC, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission. And under that commission, there are about 8 strategic infrastructure projects. This is one of them. I just can't recall the number that the project is allocated into the system. No, SIP 13 schools, but it's fine. I don't know the number of which number has been allocated. We're participating in the task team to facilitate and clear, do the clear site clearance of issues we need to do, and facilitating the release of land on land swaps when it's required. On the aspect of schools, I don't want to purport or even to try to want to speak on behalf of basic education, but I want to explain the model in which we want to work with the Department of Basic Education. This is also one of the PICC projects. It is known as SIP 13. We were approached by the Secretariat of the PICC to work with basic education on this particular asset. Basic education's got various streams in terms of schools. There's one stream that deals with the actual construction of new schools in totality from where they didn't exist or replacing those. And the other stream is a stream dealing with beautification, of ensuring that all schools have the required amenities required to provide a complete and a comprehensive educational environment for students. Now, within that space, we have approached basic education and we have discussed a conceptual frame of agreement that said Public Works will provide professional services required for the program to unfold. Those will be built environment professional services in terms of quantity surveying services, town planning services, engineering services, in terms of drawings, clearing items, etc., etc. And then we had said, one, Public Works is going through a rebuilding phase, and we don't have the capacity for us to pick up a new portfolio. Who has also been operating in this space was a question we asked, and who reported to the Minister of Public Works, and that is IDT. IDT has proven to be a better implementing agent than a lot of the infrastructure departments of state. It's so they have challenges of their own, but if you look RAF or RAND, time for time, quality for quality, they're doing program implementation better than we are doing in terms of the state. So we approach IDT to be the implementing arm to measure program, to which they have agreed. I have to stress, though, is that we are still waiting for Base 4 to agree between us and basic education in terms of those numbers of schools. It is not to say the program is only within the Eastern Cape. In the initial discussions, there were two provinces being targeted for pilots for IDT, in particular as implementing agent. It was Limpopo in the Eastern Cape. The schools program runs across the entire country where there are challenges. But insofar as Public Works is concerned, to see if we actually can deliver, we started to talk around those two provinces, and it was Limpopo in the Eastern Cape. And the discussions as where they currently stand now is that we should be looking at Eastern Cape. Thanks, sir.
Sorry, Director General, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'll be fielding the questions on the asset register, and I'm sure that an entire day can be set aside for this discussion so that we all at Eden with this. But suffice it to say, in the time that I have available, let me indicate that, to my knowledge, asset registers for immovable assets have always existed with national custodians, be it Public Works, Agriculture at National, be it Public Works or Human Settlements in the provinces. The problem is that for various reasons over the span of time, the information on these registers was no longer reliable. Added to that, as the Auditor General Upton came in terms of the international accounting standards, the information on the assets on these asset registers can no longer pass the test. What has happened then in giving effect to the requirement for the National Asset Register, Public Works National for ITSAF appointed a PMO, a Project Management Office, at the end of 2011, and for the remainder of that year, together with us, set up a program to get this asset register up and running in a way that would comply with the accounting requirements. What, in addition, we've done is we've appointed two service providers that from the 1st of July this year will do physical verification of assets on site to actually confirm the existence of the assets, the street number. They'll be photographing the assets and so on. I think what is important is that I indicate that there's varieties of categories of assets. I'm sure that you would be familiar that we have surveyed assets and we have unsurveyed assets. For surveyed assets, the asset registers within custodians over the last year have been reconciled, and we're currently sitting for the financial year ending March with a figure of 90% accuracy in terms of what we're going to be disclosing. When it comes to unsurveyed assets, these are still with rural development who have to go and do the survey of the unsurveyed properties of the country, and from that we will then be able to determine to which custodian it belongs. But I think I'll get into that in a moment. What I'd like to say is that for 2013, the custodians, be it national and provincial, have been reconciling their asset registers for surveyed properties. So that is the milestone that we've met by the end of March. And currently, with some figures still to be reconciled between ourselves and the provinces by the end of this month, we are completing and submitting for audit purposes surveyed properties asset register. I'd like to give you a sense of the figures. The figures are 179,000 properties that are surveyed and exist as registered properties in the deeds offices for all custodians. Through the reconciliation process, we have been able to break this down per custodian. So we know, for instance, that all the provinces individually, collectively, add up to 122,000 of that 179. And we have the evidence now to be able to support the assertions that the accountants are going to be looking at. Of the figure of 179, as national is concerned, we will be disclosing 33,560 assets. And that is available in the asset register of Public Works National. We have to submit that at the end of the month to the auditors for them to check that. With regards to the overall asset register program, as our minister announced in his budget speech, the asset register for National Public Works will be complete by the end of March 2015. We're allowing an extra year to 2016. That is where the asset register starts to work as a springboard for investment decisions, where you can start to look at the condition of the assets and say, this one we should rather demolish, or this one we can improve, and you can start to prioritize a building program. But for information that needs to go through and that we have concrete evidence of what our assets are, the deadline is March 2015. So in summary, in terms of the 3 years that lead up to 2015, for March at the end of this year, the custodians are disclosing assets that are reconciled against the deeds. They are registered properties. The assertion is known as completeness. We therefore have a complete asset register for those registered properties. For next year, March, the issue is, in addition to these registered, we're going to be, for the remainder of this year, together with the various custodians, looking at unregistered properties and unsurveyed, and we're going to be collectively as custodians agreeing on the valuation approach that we need to give values to these assets. We had engagements with National Treasury. The National Treasury will finalize the basis of the valuation. Should it be a municipal value or should it be a proper market valuation? These are discussions we're having with National Treasury. So for next year then, in addition to the registered properties, it will be the unregistered and the unsurveyed properties. And then by the end of March 2015, we will then have the immovable asset register complete and accurate with fair value, so we will then be able to disclose that. I think two comments from me. We have a very robust interaction with the public works in the provinces as well as human settlements. Through the asset register management unit at National Department of Public Works, there's an intensive engagement and sharing of information where both sets of custodians can then agree on whose books a specific asset will be disclosed. So we have that and it will be available. We have to submit that at the end of the month for audit purposes. In relation to the information that was questioned on page 64, I do take the point when we speak of Nasperate or Polokwane, that is our internal speak. We mean our regional office. So it is Polokwane of Regional Office of Public Works, but it talks to the assets in our holdings in the Limpopo province as represented through Polokwane. Certainly for next year we'll change that. We will find another way of saying it's not Polokwane, the town or the city. It's actually we mean the province of Limpopo through our regional office at Polokwane. But these assets are known to the extent that they are registered. Remember that that's the assertion that we are meeting this year. So that those assets we have, and we will be disclosing them in our asset register. I think if there's other information in relation to assets, the Department of Labor building in Ermelo, I do not have information on this. Okay.
Is somebody else responding to that?
Okay, then apologies. I'll leave the DDG Regional Coordination to answer that specific one. In relation to Mount Frey, I'm pleased to advise that the requisite letters between the local authority and rural development have been facilitated through our department, and as far as I know, they're in the final stages of approval, but in my view, that's a done deal. And as soon as the relevant minister then agrees to make the land available, the process of the project unfolding will start to commence. I think that for now covers the area that I need to respond to.
I remember some subject to you. I wanted you to assist me in this regard. I think it's already time up. But as I indicated earlier on, that let's request the department that to some of the questions which we have asked to respond in writing. But I wanted you to have your comments first before I propose further. Are you satisfied that we allow them to write the responses? Ma'am Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson. We do agree with you that they can send the responses in writing. It can be before we go for the budget vote in the House.
Any second
one, huh? Before that, Chair, do we have a plenary?
Yeah.
Oh.
Any
second
one? Hola. I remember Kroon and okay, fine. Any different idea? Okay, we got that. What I would like to do, I'd like to thank you all honorable members to come and participate today for this. Want to hear something different?
No, I'm
having
a question so that
you
can respond.
You have a question? Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay, fine.
problem regarding the long leases, where there are leases of 99 years at 1 rand per annum. What step has the department taken to resolve the problem, and what is the progress to date? Because we have been doing oversight in Westernburg, in Western Cape. We discovered that there is this problem. And even around Limpopo, around Makado, there is this, meaning that it means in all the provinces, this challenge is there.
Thank you, honourable members. Honourable Member Dawu.
Yes, just a quick one there. In your infrastructure plan, you know, I found something very interesting here. The infrastructure, the list is quite clear on the approved project and budgets, new replacement, upgrades, and additions. But in some projects, you then find general statements. For instance, I give this example of infrastructure plan slide 1.6, number 10. It says Busman's Neck. I don't know if we still use what Busman's Neck would be. Border post, Busman's Neck, blah, blah, blah.
When you say repair, maintenance, upgrading, okay, but Bushman's tech is quite clear. The Bushman's a negative, right? There's this general one. Yeah. It says, Johannesburg, let's pick 132, number 11. It says, Johannesburg, various government buildings, repair, modernization, maintenance of passenger and goods. Not only that, I don't want to go to the other. And I'm saying, DG, maybe, and the CFO, you must just be careful, because these are some of the things that open the department up now for other things, you know, to then sneak in. Because others are quite clear. It is this prison, you are going to fix this. Others now, you say, Johannesburg, you are going to repair, you are going to do it. Tomorrow money is gone. 11 million is gone. For what? No, we repaired it all over the show. And maybe just this one last prestige program of the department. The lifts of parliament are not working. The lifts of parliament are not working since January. There are people who got injured because of a malfunctioning lift and it dropped with weapons during the construction or whatever that they were doing. It started with you. We've got members who are disabled here. We've got members who they are able bodies would not be able to get them as fast as they would like to get to a committee meeting or so forth. They can't use this. We've got people here who are old enough to be, some of them my mother, my grandmother. I cannot be running with her to a meeting using stairs. I'll get there obviously faster than her. And you would know the membership of parliament. So the list are not working. Since January. Thank you.
Any question before I close? None. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I'd also like to thank the department. Yes, DG, you are correct. You were appointed, you say, but there were some people who were acting, you know, absentia. The man has shoot a base by jig around here. It mustn't happen again. I emphasize it must never happen again. Because colleagues have indicated that next year it's the end of the tense. But it doesn't mean that we can't make follow up with the questions. People mustn't think that they will run away with it. Because there is a thing which is called public participation, and then also there is a thing, we do it in many ways, by submissions, by coming personal, ever, and also to checking parliament to the people who do it again. So a person might think that he will run away with the question. It might come. By saying that we'll be expecting the response before we go to debate, because we depend on you. We don't want to debate things which are not there, but we wanted to debate things which are critical point. By saying that, I'd like to thank you once more. I didn't mean to suggest.
You don't remain.
Sorry?
I will not remain.
No.
Just for 2 minutes.
I'm going to go to the next one.